Reading in God's Word today from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and beginning our reading on verse 1. Let us hear what God the Lord says to us today from His own precious Word. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, and as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led them about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, and fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 14. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his own infallible word to all our hearts for his name's sake. And with God's word open before us, let us bow together in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us. We thank thee for the hymns of Zion, that we can rejoice in thee, that we can sing thy praise, that we can confide in thee in every situation and lot in life as the people of God. And Lord, our prayer is now that thou wilt bless us as we come to the ministry of thy truth. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt pour out thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take thy word, O God, that thou, Lord, will apply it indelibly and effectually, Lord, to every heart, both to preacher and to congregation alike today. We pray that thou wilt use thy word to bless and edify the saints of God. That thou wilt use thy word, O God, today to save precious souls, to bring them unto Christ, we pray. And Lord, use thy word, O God, this day, we pray, to the glory and to the honor of Christ, our blessed Redeemer. To this end, undertake for us now, O God, we pray. Lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit and all that will be said and done. For we do pray and we do ask it all, and for thy name's sake and for thy glory. Amen and amen. Now my text for this morning is the verse number 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let us just read that verse with you again. It says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, and fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings. Now our text here is really part of the swan song of Moses, the servant of God. What do we mean by a swan song? These were the final words of Moses before the Lord was to call him home to glory from this scene of time. And in the song we find Moses praising God for his goodness to the nation of Israel. Also in the song we have him rebuking Israel for their unfaithfulness to the Lord. Also in the song before us, he recalls how God found Israel in the wilderness. He thinks upon the great privileges and blessings that Israel had received as a people from the bountiful hand of God. And then he contemplates God's own regard for his people as a nation. And this he does through the illustration of an eagle in the words of our text this morning. Notice from what is said in this text and from the verse that follows, and you will see this. It says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, and fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And those words really show how God dealt with his ancient people, his regard, his care for them, as he led them as a nation out of the bondage of Egypt in redemption through the wilderness right to the very edge of the land of Canaan, their promised possession, inheritance that God had for them. And what care, what regard, what concern God showed toward his people Israel in their wilderness journeys. You know, dear people of God, this morning we can say also that in like fashion, God deals with all his saved people. In like fashion, God deals with all whom he has redeemed by the blood of Christ, all who are saved by the grace of God, all who are born again of the Spirit of God. Yes, these words of our text this morning equally apply to you and I in this gathering today who are saved by the grace of God, just as they did to Israel many years ago in the day of God's servant Moses. And as we would just look at this verse before us this morning, there are three thoughts I want you to notice very simply regarding the Lord's care, the Lord's regard for his people. I trust that it will be an encouragement to each one of us that are saved, that it will be the means of drawing you back to the Lord who have wandered far from God. And even you in our gathering this morning who are unsaved, as we consider God's great regard and care for his people, that through his own precious word this very day, that you might come to Christ and taste and see that the Lord is good. Notice first of all with me here that the eagle shows to us the character of God toward his people. Verse 11 says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Here the picture is of the eagle caring for its young. And my such words really show to us God's character, if you like, as a parent to his people. Think of the words of the psalmist as he speaks of the Lord in Psalm 103. He says there, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Think again of the words that the Lord used himself as he spoke to his people through the prophet Isaiah, likening himself unto a mother who comforts her children. He says this, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, child of God. The Lord looks after you like a pitiful father. The Lord looks after you like a comforting mother. Also this action here of the eagle and rearing its young, it reveals to us God's character of love toward his people. The mother eagle here looks after its young because of its instinct of love. And likewise, Christian, you too are the supreme object of God's love. The Lord says to you as His child, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. With loving kindnesses have I drawn you. Believer, in every detail of your life, the eye of God's love is upon you. My proof of that love is seen in the fact that God keeps you as the very apple of His eye, as He did with Israel in the day of Moses. Now look at verse 10 of the chapter. Notice what is said there. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Just as Israel were the apple of God's eye in the day of Moses, likewise child of God, such is His love that He keeps you as the very apple of His eye. And by that love of God toward you, child of God, was fully demonstrated by God sending His only Son, His sinless Son, the only begotten eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, down into this world. What for? To die on the cross, to purchase your redemption and my redemption as His people. Now the Bible tells us, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went willingly to the cross of agony and shame, where He was mocked and spat upon, where He was crucified, where He poured out His life unto death and shed His precious blood. What for? That you and I could know the forgiveness of all of our sins. That you and I could know peace with God. That you and I could be brought into a place of communion with God, reconciled to God. That you and I might have a home and a place in heaven one day. Indeed, the Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with the stripes we are healed. Oh, what love God in Christ displayed for you and I when He went to the cross and died there in our guilty room and in our stead. Yes, here the character of God is seen like a parent. The character of God is seen in His great love toward His people. You know, we can also say from our text this morning here, the action of this eagle, it reminds us of God's character of strength toward His people. Look again at our text. It says there in verse 11, now as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. There you read of the eagle's wings, and by her wings what does the eagle do? The eagle masters the wind. By her wings she also beats down her foes when they would attack. And by her wings she can bear her young in flight. Dear believer in Christ, this morning all this depicts God's strength toward you and I, His people. And toward His church, His own redeemed. Child of God, by His strength, the Lord can give you victory in all the storms and the trials of this life that would beat upon you. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. By His strength, He can deliver you from the devil's grasp and from every foe that would press in and attack your heart and soul. As the child of God, indeed the psalmist could say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Child of God, by His strength, He can carry you throughout this life, throughout your pilgrim journey, with all of its twists and turns and different circumstances. He says, even to the whorehairs will I carry you. And by His strength, He can bring you safely into heaven, safely into glory. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Believer, let me say to you this morning that God's strength is sufficient to help you in every situation, in every circumstance of life that comes across your path. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32. And here you see, as Jeremiah speaks in this verse, in the verse 17 of Jeremiah 32, his heart, his mind is focused upon the strength of God, the power of God. What a statement he makes in this verse. Look at verse 17 of Jeremiah 32. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm." Notice the final statement. "And there is nothing too hard for thee." His heart is fixed upon the great power of God. And he says, "And there is nothing too hard for thee." Such is the strength and the power of God and the Lord toward his people. Child of God, think of the words of Martin Luther. In that great hymn that he penned depicting the strength of God, he said this: "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the floods of ill prevailing." How strong is our God. My, he is our strength. He is our shield. He is a mighty bulwark that never fails. Oh, see this today as we look at this eagle. The strength of God. The love of God. The care of God for his people in life. Yes, we see here the character of God toward his people in this eagle. But notice secondly this morning, not only the character of God, but this eagle also shows to us the activity of God among his people. Look again at verses 11 and 12 of our portion of scripture. Notice what it said. It says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, so the Lord alone did lead them." And the picture is there of the eagle stirring up its nest, stirring up the young that are in the nest. And just as the mother eagle disturbs the nest and awakens her sleeping young in the nest, what is God's activity among his people? Well, we can say likewise, God also disturbs the nest of his people. Why, he causes them to awaken from their spiritual slumber and sleep and ease in Zion. I think this morning of Jonah, a child of God. Jonah, a servant of God, whom God called to go to preach to the people of Nineveh, the preaching that he would bid of. But we read in the Bible how Jonah thought that he knew better than God. Instead of getting on the ship to Nineveh, he got into a ship to Tarshish to go in a different direction. It was a strong and a mighty ship. It was a comfortable ship. For down in the belly of that ship, we read that Jonah was fast asleep. But we read also of God stirring his nest. This is what it says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken." What was God doing there? In Jonah's life, in Jonah's circumstance, God was disturbing the nest. God was stirring up the nest of Jonah. Likewise, dear people of God, when you and I do not yield to the Lord, when we do not yield to the Lord's will for our lives, when we seek to go our own way away from the Lord and from the Lord's will and the Lord's word and the Lord's truth, likewise as God's people, we also can expect trials in our life. We can expect that the spoiling of our plans in our life. We can expect that which is near and dear to our heart, that which we prize, we can expect it to be taken from us. Why? Because in all of that, God is stirring up our nest, disturbing our sleep, disturbing our ease, so that we might be delivered from spiritual lethargy, so that we might be saved from spiritual ease and the way of self, indeed the way of shipwreck, the way of ruin. Oh, see here, child of God, this morning from our text, that God is one who stirs up the nest of his people. Notice again what our text says in verses 11 and 12. It says, "As the eagle fluttereth over her young, so the Lord alone did lead him." Why, when the mother eagle disturbs her nest, When she disturbs her young, she immediately broods over them to assure them of her maternal love and her maternal care. And likewise, dear believer, whenever God disturbs your nest, indeed my nest, what is it? It is really but an assurance of God's love toward us as His people. It's but a testimony of His care for our good, of His concern for our spiritual well-being as His children. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Paul, writing to God's people in Romans 8, verse 28, said this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." By the stirring up of our nest, and maybe we mightn't see it as out at the time, it's but a testimony of God's love, God's care, God's gracious concern toward us. The hymn writer says, "For in love, not in anger, all His chastenings will come." Turn with me in your Bible over to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I want you to see here what the Lord says to Jeremiah and to the faithful remnant in his day. Jeremiah was cast into prison, down into a dark dungeon. Soon the nation of Israel was to be taken into captivity. But look at God's care. Yes, God was stirring up the nest of the people. But look at God's promise in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not an evil, and to give you an expected end." Do those words not testify to us of God's love for His people? Even in the most trying and difficult of circumstances and situations, God stirs up our nest. But He stirs up our nest in love. Look again at what is said here by Moses in our text in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, and also verse 12, as it leads into that verse. He says, "As the eagle spreadeth abroad her wings, and taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead them." My, when the mother eagle teaches her young to fly, she spreads abroad her own wings. And by this the young must learn to rest upon the wings of the mother eagle. Not only learn to rest upon the wings of the mother, they also must learn to look to the mother eagle for instruction in the matter of flying, in the matter of flight. And likewise, dear Christian, the Lord disturbs our nest. Why? So that we as God's people might learn to rest more and more upon the Lord. As the psalmist says in Psalm 37, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Not only that we might learn to rest upon the Lord, that we might also learn to look more and more to the Lord for His help, His guidance, His direction in our lives. That would get our eye more and more of ourselves, of man, and of the world around us. And that our eye, our gaze of faith might be fixed more and more upon the One who is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide our every need. Turn with me in your Bible over to the prophecy of Micah, to the very last chapter of the little prophecy of Micah, in the latter part of the Old Testament. Micah was a faithful child of God, a faithful servant of God. Yet he was going through a dark and a difficult time in his life and in his ministry. And it would seem as if the nest was being disturbed. But I want you to see where God brought Micah to, the place where He brought him to. It was a blessed place. For look at what Micah says in verse 7 and 8. Of Micah chapter 7, the very last chapter. Look at what he says in verses 7 and 8. He says, "Therefore," notice it, "I will look unto the Lord." He's not looking to man, not looking to himself or the things around him. He says, "I will look unto the Lord." He's looking to the Lord. Then he goes on and he says, "I will wait for the God of my salvation." In patience, he's waiting upon God. And he says, my God will hear me. There's hope there. He says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise when I sit in darkness. He says, the Lord shall be a light unto me. What a place to be in. To be looking to the Lord. To be waiting upon the Lord. To be expecting to hear the Lord's voice. To expecting the Lord to arise and to be a light unto him. My God brought him to that place and the disturbing of his nest. Child of God, the psalmist says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Christian, whenever your nest is disturbed, God can raise you up as his child. God can instruct you aright in the way that he would have you to go as his child. As his own redeemed. Yes, we see here the character of God. We see the activity of God also among his people. But notice finally here the purpose of God. Yes, the eagle shows us the purpose of God toward his people. Our text again says in Deuteronomy 32 verse 11, it says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them, on her wings. And these words really show how the mother eagle, what does she do? She teaches her young to fly. And in doing this, she teaches her young to hunt down the prey. Not only this, she teaches her young to develop and grow and mature. Likewise, God's dealing with his peoples all have a purpose. What is that purpose? That purpose is that the Christian may grow in grace. That the Christian may be used by the Lord more and more for the Lord's honor, for the Lord's glory. Christian, this morning, the Lord disturbs your nest. What for? That you might reflect more of the glory of Christ, your Savior, in your life. That your faith as his child might be strengthened and increased. Turn your Bible over to the New Testament, to 1 Peter. To the chapter number 1. And I want you to see how here, how Peter points this out to the Christians to whom he was writing. In verse 7, they were going through a time of trial. It was a fiery trial, but there was a purpose in it all. That their faith might be increased and purified more and more, that they might live more and more for the glory of God. He says in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, that the trial of your faith, he says, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Was it not Job who could say of the Lord, when thou hast tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now you think of the chrysalis that leads to the formation of the beautiful butterfly. Before the butterfly can develop and put on its wings, what must that chrysalis do? It must struggle out of its cocoon. They're struggling there before it can burst forth. Put on its wings to fly as one of God's beautiful creatures around God's creation. And likewise, it's the same with God's people. There are struggles, there are trials that come our way in life. God disturbs her nest. That our faith may be purified, that it might be strengthened, that we might live more and more unto the honor and praise and the glory of God. Christian, the Lord disturbs your nest to purify your faith more and more like unto Christ. But also, dear believer in Christ, the Lord disturbs your nest so that you might live a holy life in accordance with God's word, in accordance with God's will. The Bible says, chastening yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. David could say, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. The trials, this disturbing of David's nest was that David would be brought to that place in his own life of heeding the word of God and the will of God. Likewise, child of God, the Lord stirs up your nest so that he can use you in his service more and more. for the extension of his kingdom, for the forwarding of his gospel. Remember Joseph, one of the most godliest of young men that you can ever read about in the Bible. And my, there was many times in Joseph's life when his nest was stirred up. His brothers turned against him with envy. They sold him as a slave down into Egypt. And there he was maligned and misrepresented by Potiphar's wife. He was put in prison. But God had a purpose. God had a plan on it all. And Joseph unveils that plan and purpose many years later, when he is revealed to his brethren, when his brethren know him, when they come down into Egypt for food. What did he say to them in Genesis chapter 50 in the verse 20? He said this, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Child of God, when the Lord disturbs your nest and my nest, it is ultimately for that very purpose that in your life and my life as a Christian, we'll be brought to that place where God can use us more and more for His honor, for His glory, and to the pointing of souls to Christ, that we might lead others to our Savior, to our Redeemer. Think also of the Apostle Paul. He had the disturbing of his nest, but he knew the value of God stirring up his nest by allowing that thorn in the flesh. My Paul prayed that God would take it away, but God didn't take it away. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Paul began to realize the value of the stirring up of that nest. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And look with me just at what Paul says at the end of verse 9 and the end of verse 10. Here you see that Paul realized the value, the profit of God stirring up his nest with that thorn in the flesh. He says at the end of verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory," notice it, "in my infirmities." He gloried in it. Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." Notice what he says at the end of verse 10. He says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." He knew that God's strength was made perfect in his own weakness as a child of God, as a servant of God. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer in the meeting this morning and you're asking the question, why? Why the disturbing of my nest? Why the disturbing of the nest of my home? Why the disturbing of the nest of my family? Why the disturbing of the nest of my plans, of my job, of my work and all that concerns me? Is that the question upon your heart and soul today, dear child of God? And believer, you find the answer to those questions in these words of Paul. The end of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And he says, "I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I am weak, then am I strong." He stirs up your nest to bring you to that place where you can honor Him. To bring you to that place where you can live most in your life to His honor, to His praise, to His glory, in the service of His name, in the service of His kingdom. Am I speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're unsaved? Maybe God has been disturbing your nest as well in your life. You've had your plans. You've had your schemes. And everything you seem to plan and scheme, it comes to nothing. It's as if there's a brick wall around your life. Nothing seems to prosper. Unsaved friend, it is but a mercy of God in disturbing your nest. Yes, God is dealing with you. Why? So that you might come to that place in your own heart, in your own life, of repentance toward God, to that place of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Maybe you're seeking to turn away from the speaking voice of God as God disturbs your nest. I think of Manasseh this morning. Manasseh was a young man who turned away from God. A man who had great privileges as a child, as a young person. His father was Hezekiah, one of the most godliest of kings ever to reign upon the throne of Judah. A man who knew reformation and revival during his reign. His mother was a godly woman also. Yet Manasseh, we read in the Bible, turned away from his parents' God, from his parents' Savior. And when he came upon the throne in Judah, the Bible says he led Israel into terrible sin. There was no sin like it in the day of Manasseh. But you know, God hadn't finished with Manasseh. God disturbed his nest in a mighty way. The Bible tells us that the enemy came into the land. The enemy plundered the land. The enemy took Manasseh captive. They bound him in fetters and with thorns. And they took him down into captivity, down in a dungeon, down in a jail, down in the very depths of depravity, down in the very depths of his sin. This is what the Bible says of Manasseh. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. God stirred up his nest. But what a mercy it was to Manasseh, indeed to Israel, or to Judah, when God stirred up his nest. Unsaved man, woman, young person, the Bible says this. It says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And in his goodness, sinner, God maybe has sent trouble to your life. He's been disturbing your nest. What for? So that you would turn from your sin, that you would turn to Christ. So you would trust in him alone for the pardon of your sin and the salvation of your soul. Oh, as you would consider the disturbing of your nest today, my prayer, my burden is this day that you will come to Christ. Come by faith to the Lamb of God, confessing your sins to him, realizing there's power in his blood alone to save your soul, bring you nigh to God and forgive all your sins. My Christ himself invites you to do so. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no rest in the world. There's no rest in sin. There's no rest in going your own way like a sheep astray. Oh, that you would heed, unsaved friend, the speaking, warning voice of God today to your heart and the disturbing of your nest. Like Manasseh of old, be a young man in this meeting. Be a young woman in this meeting, unsaved. Maybe turned away from what you've been taught as a child, as a young person in your home, your Sunday school, your youth fellowship, whatever. Oh, that you would seek the Lord today. Know your sins forgiven. Know what it is to be saved by God's grace for time and for all eternity. May God bless his word to all our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us today in thy house and around thy word. And Lord, our prayer is that thou wilt take the truths of thy word, and that, Lord, thou wilt write them upon our hearts and upon our souls as thy people. Lord, we thank thee that thou art a merciful God and that thou art one that disturbs the nest. Lord, even in those times when our nest is disturbed as your people, help us, O God, not to kick against the pricks, but help us, O God, to yield to thee, to listen to thee, to go in the way that thou wilt have us to go, that we might live more and more as thy people for thine honor and glory, that thou canst use us, O God, for the extension of thy kingdom. Lord, we pray for those in our meeting unsaved, and Lord, thou hast been disturbing their nest, yet they've been going on heedless and careless. Lord, awaken them this day, and even as it was with Manasseh down in that prison cell, that they might humble their hearts before the Lord and call upon the Lord and be saved. Know the joy of their sins forgiven, washed away by the blood of Christ. Know what it is to be saved and ready for heaven. We find that Christ has promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh Lord, we pray for those in the meeting unsaved, be the old, be the young today, though that they might come unto Christ in faith and in repentance, and know what it is to be saved by thy grace for time and for eternity. Lord, bless us as we tarry around the table of the Lord, as we remember Calvary. Pour out thy Spirit upon us, and bless those that cannot stay. Keep them safe in their homeward journey, and bless us throughout this, the remainder of thine own day. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for thy glory and praise, O God. We pray these things. Amen.